Sorry about that.
Like she's normally getting.
It's all in the eyes of the beholder. I think we're doing a great job.
So you're being recorded. This is the last item for today. George is also being recorded. 4824 Edgemore Lane. This is in for sketch plan. We will do a presentation from the applicant. The panel will discuss, and then at the end, if there's time, have questions or comments from the community. If you have not already signed in, please do. The sign-in sheets are somewhere. And with that, I will turn it over.
Thank you. I'm Pat Harris with Lurch, Early & Brewer here on behalf of the applicant. This site, as you know from looking at our packet, is unusual in several ways, but most importantly, because given its size. It's just over 8,000 square feet of net tract area. The it was zoned R60. It was one of the handful of R60 zone sites in this area of Bethesda that the sector plan and hence the council made an affirmative decision that they wanted to see those sites change from the single family homes that were out of characteristic with the rest of the CBD and develop in accordance with what they became zoned, which was the CR zone. The best example is probably right across the street, which there was a house on that site. Given its small size, we've tried to be as innovative as possible. I think the best example is the car elevator. A number of other folks have looked at this site and walked away because they thought we're not going to do that. Given that it's going to be condo and there needs to be some parking there, that's how we plan to solve that problem. So in looking at, we really took guidance from the site across the street, and that site almost doubled the size of this site. And in guidance, what I mean by is both the architecture in terms of how to address some of the design guideline recommendations, and then also the placement of the building on the site. There are a couple other sites in Bethesda that are similarly sized. I worked on the one that came before you. It was at the corner of Pearl and Montgomery. A little different because that was commercial, but that site was even smaller than this. It was just 5,000 square feet. What's proposed are condos, a little different from what the condo market currently has in Bethesda, in that they're smaller condos. They will be smaller, so at more affordable price points than what's out at the market right now and within a stone's throw of the metro station. So with that, unless Sean, you have any other introductory remarks, we'll turn it over to the architects and they can walk through our design and the thinking behind what we came up with.
And Pat, the building you're referring to across the street is 150 foot tall.
Correct.
Across Edgemore.
Yeah. It's
under construction now.
Right? Yes.
Under construction.
But we were not involved in this site, or I was not involved in this site during the sector plan process. The site across the street, after some discussion with staff and council, was increased 150 feet, but this is 120 feet in height. Yes.
Yep. So,
but if you're willing to recommend, we would say no.
Not their job.
So I don't know. This isn't working on that screen. Okay, doesn't work. So there's our site. You see the S curve of Woodmont Avenue. The site's a little bit more than 8,900 square feet. It's very small. We have, seven units per floor. It's a modest footprint. We don't have a lot of articulation in the building other than the wonderful architecture that we generated. Our entree to the site typically is by car from downtown Bethesda from the north, and we have great sort of cameos of how we start to see the site as we come through. And I had the good pleasure of designing the Lorenz building, which is at the bottom of our arrow, so that's our destination. So it's kind of a old home for me.
Where the six is?
Below this, yeah, just to the right of the six, the triple top with Kaiskan Florence.
Yeah.
The one that was shelved and came back. In my youth?
Yeah.
Well, I was younger. Yeah. I don't know if I was that young. But we've worked here. We actually worked also on the helping other groups with the 2017 sector plan, which was wonderful. But this is a project that you're going to see along that artery as it kind of winds through. It's a very picturesque approach. The adjacent property that Pat referred to is to the north and across Edgemore, and we are within 600 feet of the metro, directly through along Edgemore. So, you know, it's a missing tooth, as Pat said, and we believe that we have a responsibility to deal with the street wall, much as we do in any urban location. The building contributes to active streetscape. Environmental sensitivity is important. Our architecture is creative. Robert's going to talk more about those types of things. But we are filling out our site, with the exception of a small court on the southwest side and a green wall on the south side of the building, responding directly to the Chase exposure. The other walls of the, all four walls, or I should say five walls, are high quality walls. They're not back walls, they're all exposed. They have windows, at-risk windows, they have balconies and all that. You'll see that. Heights, again, were below the 120 foot mark. Whereas the neighbor across, it's stepping down. It's going from 175, 190s to 150 across the street to 120, and the Chase is 120. So that's our project. I think we talked a little bit. You want to talk about, let's see.
Can we talk about that in the ground
floor? Ground floor plan. So ground floor.
Yes. So zooming in, we'll have the lobby on the corner of Woodmont and Edgemore, which will essentially be visible from the metro as you're walking out, when you're walking west into the neighborhood. We have loading and parking entrance both grouped together on the south side of Woodmont, right above the utility area for the Chase to the south. We have enough room to actually have two car elevators for the automated parking system, as well as have up to four cars inside the building waiting to get into those elevators, as well as a passenger loading space, which we're required for the automated parking system. And then moving up, on all of the floors, we have seven units per floor in a range of one beds to two bed units.
These are modest size units. The hopes are that they're folks who want to live near the metro. They may have a car, which is typically in our world, condominiums have car storage more than anything, because people do have cars they use on the weekends. So that might be the case here.
Yeah, the size of the units is approximately between 650 and about 1050 square feet.
We do have balconies that project into the public beyond the property lines along the two primary faces, Edgemore and Woodmont, mm-hmm. and then in the courtyard on the backside, as you can see, the 06 and 07 tiers.
And then on the rooftop for our amenity penthouse, we've decided to make it a little oval shaped so that it doesn't have quite as sharp corners as it sticks up from the roof. And here we'll have essentially fitness and a kind of party room type area, as well as an extensive green roof and roof deck on the north side of the building.
Yeah, the form takes, softens its impression from the street from a distance. And it divorces it from the architecture itself as something different at the rooftop.
Mm-hmm. And then mechanical equipment and a screen penthouse. So moving on to the elevations, what we've done here is we've broken down these elevations into a series of essentially two-story modules or panels to break down the scale of the building, while still establishing a three-part tower form, where we have the base and then the textured modules, and then the top story, the 12th floor, is similar to the base to give it the three-part reading.
I wonder if I should go to the rendering for that.
Yeah, probably.
Are you okay if I go back to that first slide for the rendering? I'm not sure the fastest way to get there, but
so because of
for this discussion, I think that's a better
because
picture.
Of the shape of the site, it essentially, the facade sort of splay out a little bit, and coming north from Woodmont towards the site, it would appear to be one large, broad facade. So what we've done is created a break on the corner, as well as creating this textured panel system so that it does not appear to be one broad facade, but it looks like more of a slender tower than necessarily like a larger, bulkier building.
And those faces are faceted, so they flip in and out also. So they catch light differently, they'll have different textures, and that piece at the corner is this sort of zipper that zips up those two facades. I think marquetry is what we use the word to describe this sort of patchwork blanket of facade elements. You want to go down?
Yeah.
All right, you keep going.
On the south side, we'll be having a green wall, as well as a couple at-risk windows for these units. And we are planning on being in discussions with our neighbors to the south to collaborate on what they might want to see here on the south wall. We did talk about the green wall. That was one of our agreed upon
suggestions. We've had three meetings with the neighbors immediately on both sides of us, the Chase, and we'll be having another one on Monday. But we've had three neighbors just because of there was some trees on this side, so we wanted to keep that, the view that they were used to having in the past. So that was one of the, beyond the design guidelines of, trying to address some of their issues.
And then the two-story reading from the Edgemoor and Woodmont facades then continue as ribbons on the other facades. It's a little light in this slide, but it's two-story groupings of color that will wrap the back two sides of the building. So again, not supportive of the overall two-story elements and giving something visually to the neighbors as a property line condition.
Mm-hmm. And then the west facade. Tall's building section. So these are just some of the ideas that we had presented as a potential for the party walls that we're presenting. At least some of the colored panels in the green wall system were some ideas for that. So moving into some of the guidelines that we're addressing, we can start with the tower setbacks. So on the neighborhood local streets and the mixed-use streets, which are Woodmont and Edgemoor, we're required a 15-foot, or not required, but it's suggested for a 15-foot or a 10-foot setback. And then the tower separation requirements are essentially 22.5 feet from the property line. If we followed these, the floor plate would drop from approximately 7,400 square feet to about 2,550.
Not much left.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on to, so our neighborhood local street, what we've done is we've at the ground floor, we've inset the lobby 5 feet to provide a planting strip to make the walkability a little bit more more pleasant for everybody there, and a little wider and broader. And we've done this on both sides for the mixed-use street as well. For the base, again, talking about how we've inset the inset the lobby to provide a little bit of relief on the street. And moving up, the corner treatment here allows us to anchor the corner of the building and act as a joint between the two facades, while also accentuating some verticality as a signature design element to really create sort of a landmark area right here on this corner.
And then functionally, that is the living area of the corner unit, which is has flanking bedrooms, so that that main area will remain open.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then what we're doing is, on the facade generally, we're creating this modulation of inflected panels. So essentially the yellow ones are angled in slightly to create a relief and texture on the facade, so that it doesn't feel like it's one large wall just continuing up, but it feels a little bit more broken down and human scale. And then for the loading and service access, what we've done is we've grouped it right north of the Chase's utilities, in the best place we could put it. If we put it on the Edgemore side, we would be far too close to the intersection, so it would just cause all sorts of issues. And just touching on the tower setbacks here, we've set back, we're set back about 28 feet from the Chase, and because we're under 120 feet, we are employing the party wall rather than the 22 and a half foot setback, as well as because of the size of the site. And zooming in on the green wall that we're proposing for on the south for the neighbors, just so, and we can continue to design this further, but acting as a placeholder for further discussion. That's it.
Can you tell me something about the ownership of the property immediately to the west? If there's a parking garage and a swimming pool, or
it's part of the Chase apartment. The Chase, the Chase
wanders over there.
The Chase is boundaries on both our sides.
Yeah.
And so, that's their access to the parking garage and their facility. So their parking garage is above and underground.
Yeah.
And it's condominium ownership, so it's unlikely to ever develop.
Well, that's what I'm trying to
get at. Yeah, it's 250 condominiums.
Wow. It's unlikely to ever change.
Right. Okay. So that's one of the reasons why. It's also the reasons why I met with them very early in the process.
It's all about light and air on the west side. On the south side, you have the larger setback, etc. But on the south, on the west side, there's almost no setback, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm hearing is that it's unlikely that the condition of that pool and that garage will ever change.
Right, because that's
the condominium on the
they're
going
to have
side.
To sell right exactly
right.
And we are going to obviously notify that these are at-risk windows. I mean, there is, you know, obviously every unit will have a bedroom that is, you know, on Edgemore or, you know, has a setback. So there's nothing, you know, so if anything develops next to it from some odd reason, is those units are all designated as dens, not bedrooms.
And so then
and all the
your neighbor the to the your neighbor to the south, where you're only 21 feet away.
28
feet
away. Yes,
how have those negotiations gone? Because
I mean that's the reason why we have actually moved we made a couple modifications for them. One is the reason for the green wall there. Two is we had the units that are on the west with the setback.
Is this the south or
that's
west?
That's the south.
What happened is
go to the floor plan.
Yeah.
Okay. If you go to here, what happened is when I met with the unit owners, a couple of reasons is they have been having their privacy since 1985, a year before the metro opened up or whatever it was. So what happened is we wound up saying here is initially we had these units that would look out over them, and they're saying we don't want people looking into us. You know, so we've had this for, you know, we've been here for a long time. So we moved these units from here to here. We also gave them the green wall, so the only things they'd be looking at are these couple of dens here, and these quarter windows here. So people are not going to be looking over them; they'll be given greater privacy. Plus, you know, since they also had some trees here and the parking lot here,
we gave them the Green Mall. So this is kind of, these were adaptations we made from their meeting. Same idea. You know, we one time had an entrance coming here for loading. They were telling us, hey, this unit here, this is how they get in and out of their property right here. They say in the morning, it backs up. You know, we actually, we these people are waiting two or three light cycles to get onto Woodmont and go, you know, on their way. So we turn around and say, okay, we will have no curb cuts to this side.
So you mean coming out of their garage?
Coming out of the garage over on the left.
This is how they get out of the garage every day.
Right along that wall?
That's actually a little bit left.
No, to the left.
You see the truck.
There. That's where you come out.
But this is how they get out of the garage, so they're probably, we were going to be coming in, sir. We were going to have a loading deck here. This is how they get out of the garage every day. And that's just how, I mean, they have 250 cars plus coming out there. So 250 cars, you have more than 250 cars in there, don't you? Okay. But it's just 250 units, so you're more than 250 cars.
Yeah, more than 250 cars.
Yeah, there's more than 250, especially I think when this was made, it had to be at least 1.5, not more. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 300 plus cars are coming in and out of there all the time, so. So these are the things that we kind of modified our plans for, addressing their issues of getting in and out in the morning, and their issues of people here wanting privacy as much as possible, because this is what they would use.
But units 1207.
1207.
Right. The layout of 1207, you have a balcony.
Right.
And so the public rooms would probably be there on that.
This year, there's no unit, there's no tower here.
Right.
You look down into what, a pool?
A swimming pool, right.
Right.
You have living on the balcony.
Yeah.
Living's on the balcony there.
Bedrooms
in the notch.
This is the living room, this is the bedroom.
Right.
And this all have windows along there.
Right. And you'll have a window here and here in the bedroom.
It's a packing problem. A real packing problem.
I guess I'm kind of trying to probe this issue on the south side about how close you are to your neighbor and, you know, compliance with the design guidelines, which suggest a bigger separation than what you're showing. But is your neighbor buying into this?
Right.
Well,
I mean, I would say, you know, in an ideal world, does anyone want a building right next to them? No, they don't. They've had the luxury of having a single family home there since they were built.
Sure.
You know, visually, no matter what gets built there is going to block their view. And as said, the more, you know, given how small the footprint is already, any reduction of that is going to make it very difficult for this site to ever be redeveloped.
What are the size of those two units on the south side?
Just that's 1050, and the other one is about 7?
No, it's unit 5 is about 1050, and unit 6 is about 950.
You get the, I didn't realize that unit 5 is about 950, okay.
But unit 5 is 1050.
I know unit 5, yeah. I know that that's our, actually that's our largest unit, mm-hmm. Unit number 5.
Two bedroom?
Actually, it's a one-bedroom den legally.
Yeah,
because I think it's at risk window.
At risk windows.
The only true two-bedroom there is the unit there on the corner there.
On the corner.
Unit 2.
Yeah,
but that's So that is legally a one-bedroom den.
And is this a condominium project?
Correct.
Yes.
Wow. So obviously, because we had a tough discussion.
Yeah.
The previous applicant.
I heard some of it.
Yeah, you heard some of it. So, you know, obviously there are design guidelines, and you know what they are. You know, you're not meeting them. And to me, when I look, let's just talk about, in lieu of creating, meeting the design guidelines, creating really excellent architecture.
And I think that's also, that's why I came to you early in this process.
Well, can I continue for a second?
Sure.
So when I look at the facades that face the public streets, they look highly fragmented to me. Mm-hmm. That I think it's a very prominent site, it's a very visible site as you go up and down Woodmont. But to me, I think there's more uniformity required, and almost even think about this as potentially a modern interpretation of the Flatiron building, which most of all architects know in New York, is basically a continuous facade that curves around the end. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful facade. This one, I think, in some respects, I think you're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. I think the corner articulation in particular just feels really odd to me.
So what are you talking about, Scott?
Your comment's interesting. I was the attorney for the one to the north, and I think this group's initial comment was, it's too busy. There's too much going on.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way here.
It's kind of the same feeling.
You know, in the typology, there is a cellular nature to the units, and it's really just we're expressing that on the facade. And you know, we think in a pleasing way that breaks down the scale, because otherwise we could make a vertical tower for that whole building, not saying that 23 Skidoo is a vertical tower, but it's punched small windows, which is an office building, I believe. So we have other concerns about light and air and access, you know, openings and facades and things like that. We saw that vertical element as a landmark as you're moving through Woodmont. And that could be lit or could be polychrome.
It seems very self-conscious to me. And I wonder whether it's really the time and place to do this. And again, I'm expressing a personal opinion.
When you say do this.
Do particularly that corner element, right there on the corner, that vertical element, you know, it almost has kind of religious connotations to it.
but also you had described it as a zipper, and I feel like particularly from this perspective, like there's not enough to zip together.
I'm just gonna say the same
thing. That you have that, like the motion of the building sort of around the corner, I think is much more compelling than having this sort of accent piece.
So is it the corner piece? I mean, the articulation I think is kind of interesting, or is it the?
Let me say it another way.
Yes, sir.
The building's relatively small.
It is.
There's one long dish elevation, but not very long.
Correct.
And one very short. It's on a corner. It's a turning condition. I think the analogy of the Flatiron building is a decent one in terms of. I think what I'm hearing, what I'm thinking also, is that this building is not large enough to need to be segmented quite as much as it is. It could be treated as one continuous facade with elements happening within it, obviously. And by the way, I assume that since this is a sketch plan, that this is sort of placeholder design, that this is going to evolve as you go forward. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would concur that the fuss at the corner, in my personal opinion also, is not adding to the overall success of the design.
Okay, so outside of the corner.
Okay, we haven't gone there yet.
it seems like you would want to have this more one, because it's not a large building. You would rather have one more continuous design.
Well, there's many ways to do it besides boring continuity, but I think, and there could be some emphasis at the corner that's a little different. This is going a long way to project major columns and a different reading of the building that I can see it applicable in many other instances. I think my thought at this point is that for this size building at 120 feet in the neighborhood where it is, it might be a little simpler as it turns the corner. That's just my personal opinion.
And again, you know, we could as a panel hold your feet to the fire to meet all the design guidelines,
right,
and you wouldn't end up with a viable footprint, right?
Yeah. No, I mean,
I think the demand really needs to be this exterior has got to be really beautiful.
Yeah. No, and like we came here. I mean, as I said, Elsa, mm-hmm, when I met with you, we said this is a challenging building. It's small size. It's in a zone where there is no setback required. I mean, we can build from property line to property line, but you know, how do we get there? And I think you said design was number one. I think then number two was design, and if I remember right, I think number three was also design.
Yeah.
it helps.
Well, I would say this is the site where you want to do that. I mean, because if we did the tower separation, you don't have anything to do. There's no development.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's something where you see it and you're like, wow, that's a nice building.
The other thing we were trying to do.
And I know these guys, they can do it.
We were trying to bookend a little bit
we're
the
doing
property
it.
To the north.
Well, I wonder.
From a visual standpoint.
So we
all have noses.
We know the Edgemont mean who's. We were blessed the fact that Pat was our attorney and was able to give us understanding what happened here with the Edgemont. So we wanted to not replicate the Edgemont, because I don't think that's what you wanted either, is to have, you don't want to have both corners the same. But we wanted to have something that would, you know, live up to at least what is happening at the Edgemont, because otherwise across the street you have a 20-year-old parking garage. I mean, how old is that parking garage there? And then the Metro 3. So we were taking a stack of, do we want to take, do we want to look like Metro 3, which I don't think you do, this is an office building. Do you want to look like a concrete parking garage that was made before they had nice facades and parking garages? Or do you want to kind of live off of the Edgemont? I think we're trying to go off of that.
Or you could be your own thing.
And I think we were. And obviously, we tried to we improved on what the Edgemont was. Maybe we went, is it maybe too far down the road on a small building? Is that what you're saying, George?
Well, also turning corners. I mean, let's be perfectly honest.
That's all.
The north elevation is fine. Then all of a sudden we turn the corner to the west and it just drops off dramatically. And so you've accentuated the corner on the two major streets, but the corners that turn toward the Chase, etc., to the south, and the corner to the north and west, is just not paid attention to.
Which, by the way, is a typical zero property line.
That's right.
Sacrificial window.
That's right.
Problem that we have.
Right.
Sure. Sure. Well, then that's solvable. I mean,
we
know that.
No,
right?
I know it. Definitely.
But we were hinting at what the solution would be. Rod, one of the problems,
you want to have the juxtaposition between very, very banal and very heavily articulated.
Which,
that's,
by the way,
that's
we
really
need to
the issue.
That Western view.
Right, right. Well, and the way, we notched the corner mm-hmm. here
and there
to have, isn't working. So what we wanted to do is we want to wrap that facade.
Exactly.
And we want to have a break at the inside corner, which is the best place to break it. I probably learned that from you. And on the other side, we've been encouraged to reduce that break, which we've done at the request of our client, but we could make that better also. And we know we can do better mm-hmm. facades. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges we have, Rod, is that we're flush online and we can't have things projecting beyond that property line. Now, I know that's the nature of this big vessel, right?
Go to your roof plan for a second, if you don't mind.
So I'm not saying project beyond the property line, but I think there's a clue here with this elliptical element you have up here.
Yeah, sure.
What if you just had a beautiful curved line that mimicked that curve right there?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're
We lose some square footage, but that'd have to be a decision.
You're talking.
Well, there's no guarantee in the scheme of things on the design guidelines. You're going to get the square footage.
I think
you
can actually gain square footage.
You got those
returns.
Two little cutouts,
be,
right?
So you're just saying smooth this corner here.
Yes.
That's one aspect of it.
One aspect.
That's one way of doing it.
Okay. And I think the same between the relationship of the middle to the base and the top, and I think the middle is going to be the strongest piece of it, and right now sort of the you have a line sort of breaking the middle from the top, and it feels very different, and the ground floor feels very different. And I feel like once you figure out the middle,
what is the middle?
The middle is everything from the
go back
base
to the
top.
Everything that's
to the
not
top.
The first floor, the top floor.
Okay, so the middle from here to here.
Exactly.
So, and you're already working with this idea that there's like this texture, and so this is sort of the main event. But this, I mean, like that edge right here, it just feels unnecessarily crisp.
Well, it's
okay. So you want to beyond softening this curve by doing thing, you want us to soften this and this. Soften the crown and soften the base.
I think one will tell you how to do the other.
Exactly.
I think this is a case of trying to create a really highly crafted, highly tailored suit. Mm-hmm. And simpler is better.
Do you have other, besides the Flatiron building, any other buildings come to mind that you're envisioning?
There's a lot of square footage.
No, we're not going to call it. You're not going to put any square footage, I don't think.
Well, get that curve. How would you feel if we were to, there is a case for a facade that addresses the street.
That's right.
And there's a case for a secondary piece that could come into it in
exactly.
some way.
There you go.
Could that be, I'm just going to, a diagram of something different. I mean, would that,
Possibly.
Possible.
That way, I can maintain the face of that building out. We've looked at lots of things. We had a drum there. I can't say we didn't have a curve there. No, I.
But I think that's an interesting suggestion.
I do too.
Could there be, and is that element maybe a lower element that you describe working our way this way, right? So right. We've got this and this.
As Mr. Zipper on this panel, right?
That's right. You are.
You like zippers.
I was Mr. Zipper.
Did I have you at zipper
on a lot of other buildings, etc. I'm not as fond of this zipper.
You want to unzip? Other.
I want you to unzip and have the zipper be less prominent, which is exactly what you just drew there.
Yeah.
You have a seam.
It's a seam. It's a seam as opposed to a complete zipper, and the flat. Let's call it cornice, I think is abusive. I would go to a parapet and then a setback as opposed to a crown. See that horizontal, that strong horizontal mm-hmm. at the top?
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And then
we had that at the top, and then we lowered it to create that kind of static story.
Can you tell me why the ellipse? Is this an ellipse or an oval?
It's an ellipse.
Okay. Yeah. An ellipse has two foci.
You've taken some
foci.
License.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So, but right now it has the squared R part.
The
pops
other
out.
The other works mm-hmm. this way.
On
right?
the back side.
What is that all about?
The stairs. So
stairs.
These are the stairs. I know, but can't you just sort of rotate the ellipse?
It wouldn't necessarily be visible from.
I see.
Yeah. Because we could actually slant the roof.
We didn't want to, but this.
Oh, this piece here would only be 4 feet above the roof. You wouldn't see it.
It's just weird, isn't it?
Well, we
were trying to be as efficient as possible.
Right.
We had some issues when we were talking to zoning and planning and fire, what we had to do for the stair separation.
So let's talk. The elephant in the room is the green wall and whether or not it's going to grow in this climate. It's a south-facing green wall, which means it gets phenomenal heat, in many, many, many months of the year.
It's going to be shaded. It's going to be shaded by the Chase.
The Chase?
Except.
Well, that's probably good because maintaining a green wall is... Not an easy.
It'll probably only get sun until like 11 o'clock.
What you're saying is going to get a lot of sun in the summer and very little in the winter because the Chase will shade it in the winter.
Yeah, I mean it'll only get sun until at the latest noon. It'll get morning sun.
How is it maintained?
Well, there's been a lot of. I'm sure you know better.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of green walls in the past that haven't made it, but more recently the techniques of how you plant them and how they should grow.
I know in London, I've been there, done that, as they say, and there's beautiful ones, etc. Our climate is not the same as some of these other more temperate climates, etc.
They're grown, they're indigenous species that are grown here. They Sempergreen is the group that we looked at just briefly, and they can go from full shade to full sun,
right.
depending on what they use and how they blend it.
So why is it one zipper as opposed to the whole wall or some other pattern or whatever? In other words, it seems...
I think one thing was there was a little concern that as you move to the west, because tucked in there, there isn't, there's almost no sun where there is sun on the eastern side of that facade. So it'd be, there's a differential
in the
there
afternoon sun would probably dry it all out in the summer.
As for the actual design of it, it's sort of currently a placeholder.
Yeah, it's a placeholder.
It's textured and, you know, moved about rather. It wouldn't just be a single rectangle of the same plant.
Well, you saw some of those images. I mean, it gets it can get quite artistic, and it could actually be.
We were just trying to break up the facade for the people to chase.
I don't disagree with that at all, personally. I think, as I've heard, you're going to look at it in more depth. I think it could be a little less staged, a little more expanded.
It's a less slide.
Not necessarily the whole facade. Yeah.
Right.
But I think you could have a more interesting.
Be more organic.
Pardon me?
Look more organic.
Yes, a little bit more organic.
Yeah. So you said on this, the south and the west, that you were the modules, the sort of two level modules, etc. But here we're reading slab, and then
you didn't show that in there. Yeah,
it's the picture doesn't really
here.
If you look at this, it's
that's what we're trying to get.
You know, the idea is we wanted to
continue what are those materials, etc., on the south and the west facades, because you spend all your money on the east and the north facades, and not a lot of money.
We're going to spend a lot of money on the green wall.
If we simplify it,
we think it's only a cementitious surface.
More money to spend on this one.
And the same for the west facade, because the west facade is what everybody in Arlington is going to see.
Yeah. See, that's what's, because that just has the parking garage and the swimming pool. And so you see that west.
It's a high risk. This one, in terms of the public, won't be seen by
running. Right.
But the west facade is very visible.
Yeah.
And it deserves some attention.
Yeah.
And it has that notch. You can see where the windows are paired. That's set back.
So technically, for how long? These windows aren't operable because they're at-risk windows, et cetera.
No, so we don't think they're operable.
Yeah, no, they can't be. Right. Because otherwise,
they
can't.
They'd be sprinklered.
They're sprinkled on the glass.
Yeah. Because
so you do have to do that.
Yeah, they're going to be a little shorter because you're going to have the knee wall and the sprinkler above it.
So do you express, I guess, the slabs? That's really the issue. I mean, I think you have to attend to that. Elevations. These two elevations need some.
Absolutely. No question. Woodmont and the West really need to be part of the same composition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's, you know, you have the pool,
the modules,
and then you have
the
townhouses.
Same.
I mean, there's nothing. Right. You're going to be the tallest building
coming
from the West. Everybody's going to see your building.
From the west, right?
From the west, for that entire
community. No, we don't disagree. I mean, even the articulation of the slab edges, honestly, it comes from the BIM model, and we get ourselves in trouble. You know the problem.
It doesn't look like a high-quality condominium building. It looks like
on this
public housing. I'm sorry.
But I think it's important for the note, you know, I think for the notes, I think it's
I
important
you
to make
have
sure
thick
that
skin for this
we said they need to identify, work on the west facade.
It sounds like you're saying spread the wealth.
This is
so.
So
you're telling me that all the money I spent on the Woodmont, I should save a little bit of that and put it on the west.
Spread the wealth.
No, how's that
put
sound?
More money.
Put
more money to the west.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to say.
I thought you're trying to save me on the Woodmont side, saying it's way too busy.
I'm just talking about
get rid of the articulation. You know,
well, in part, yes.
What?
You could save some money on Woodmont and apply it to the west side.
Yeah.
I just think it's a design question.
Save money on the zipper.
Good hands, I know that. But, you know, unless you're not hearing it, the west facade and the south don't hack it at this point.
No problem.
I think we need to give you more detail.
And I'd like the comment, need to spend more on the west and south and less on the...
We're helping you guys.
They're hurting
That's what I like better.
Yeah. And I'm going to be working, and also, to be honest, the west and the south, with something that we have constant communication with the community. I said we were at three meetings with them. We have one scheduled again for Monday. So this is what we want to evolve with them, because to some extent, especially on the south, also on the west, but less so, it's really an issue with the chase on the south. With the west, it's the combination of the chase and the community.
I think what we're going to tell you when you come back and is, if it hasn't evolved already, is that whatever's happening in the building, in this particular building, is a 360, or at least, except for the south side, the west and the north and east need to work very well together and be consistent with each other in quality.
Well, the modules of the windows, et cetera, could be picked up.
We know the modules.
The windows, it's not even that they're going to be cheap windows. They're going to be different windows because they're at-risk windows.
Right.
No, but...
what I'm saying is that you can use the same modules, et cetera, so that there's a reference as you come around.
It'd be an abstraction.
And there are ways to express the modules on the other two facades with other materials, not necessarily just plain brick and a little window in it.
What is the material? What are the materials envisioned?
I assume it's brick.
Do we know?
A lot of cementitious panels, a longboard system, like a wood look panelized system, as well as maybe a little bit of brick on the base.
Wow. So the west facade is not brick.
That would be cementitious.
Even more to
stucco?
To be careful.
We're going to revert to their earlier comment.
Oops. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Damon has to leave. And
I just got 15 extra minutes.
I have to leave. Okay, so we're in, so this is a sketch plan application. I think the first question, and just because of timing, I want to do this and then we'll get to you and anybody else who wants to speak. So this is for sketch plan, and so sketch plan is all about massing and height and density and sort of identifying issues. Does the panel want to see it again at sketch plan or?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. So.
Because of massing?
Oh, no, not because of massing. No, I think it's hard.
Well, what we didn't get is the massing diagrams that showed the cutting and pasting and setbacks and what would happen if we had the tower setback, et cetera, and all those kinds of massing studies to prove that this is the appropriate way to go so that we can then bless.
Yeah, I think
that,
we thought because of strict compliance would make it a 2,000 square foot footprint.
Nevertheless, it's always good to show
that
it's not doable, et cetera. That's, in other words, there is that.
So that diagram doesn't show that to you, the one we showed with the setback?
Go back and look at some of these.
That's the easy part.
Yeah, it's easy.
I think we're agreed. I think on the design is what we're talking
right.
about.
I would suggest, and this is up to everyone, but I would suggest not coming back here, but then you guys are taking a risk if you go and fully vet your design, or even fully go through with your design and come back at site plan, and we don't like it, then it's going to be a lot harder to change things.
And more to the point, though, you need... The panel needs to vote that they think you can meet the minimum 10 points.
Right.
And so if you don't have a majority of panel members agreeing that they think you meet 10 points, then that's problematic.
But that seems a little, and this is more general, the fact that at sketch plan it's massing height and whatever else you said, and yet the 10 points go to design, that's a little inconsistent.
From a regulatory standpoint, it's that. From a design standpoint, I think, typically what we look for here is massing and precedent.
Uh-huh.
And you have some precedents, but you also, I think, you showed some ideas about how the facade is going to be crafted, and I think there are major reservations from the panel on the west and the south that are enough that sound like they're do not pass go.
But that's a design issue, not a massing issue, right?
Sounds that way.
Can we agree on the massing and come back to you on the design?
Well, I think the caveat, again, is the fact that you're not in compliance with the design guidelines at all, to be honest with you. Your out really is you're 120 feet or less. Mm-hmm. We're going to demand a highly crafted, well-executed design to get the 10 points awarded. For the exterior,
and that includes the other two facades.
And if you do that, then I think we agree with the massing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we agree with the massing.
About Go ahead.
It's intrinsic, really is, because the massing
is
not the dominant architectural feature. It's about skin and and all that.
And maybe even
for the massing diagram of the flat iron is quite simple, isn't it?
Right. So it could be for the next.
It's a terrible plan.
Well, it's an office building for God's sake.
Corner office, right?
Okay.
That maybe for the next, maybe what they come back with is in some ways less specific, and that it's more massing and precedent.
I think it's beyond the massing and precedent.
Well, except the one thing
that I heard that is
helpful is before getting into the nitty-gritty of site plan, we're going to want your general blessing, because otherwise you've wasted a lot of your money.
That's the whole point.
I think we're correct on massing. You know, massing and precedent, I think all you guys are curious about, and it makes sense, is we need to work more on the other facades. We need to show you more on the other facades. So how can we
all four facades.
All four facades. And I agree with that.
Yeah, no, that.
In terms of timing, so our DRC is next week. You know, at what point, what's the latest point we can come back to you and still not have to extend our sketch plan date?
So what's the sketch plan? 90 days from, let's say, the beginning, December, January, February.
Final 65-day submittal would be due the 31st of December to make the March 5th.
But I think
they could still do it January.
Right. I mean, essentially, what you're providing the panel with more information, and so that they can feel comfortable
with the minimum tenants. For how we deal with
the so I think that can. I think you could go to the DAP in January,
and then be fine if we have that wrapper.
All right.
Good. Highly crafted.
I think we could continue with sketch, but come back here in January.
Not to speak for everybody else, but it seems to me that they're on the right track.
Right.
You just have to attend to the elevations, etc., aggressively. You know, and it wouldn't hurt to have a couple of alternatives, if you will, in terms of how you turn the corners, because the transitions between the expensive facade and the cheap facade is pretty dramatic.
Do you have what you need? So we'll do notes. Just because we're late on time, I think I'll quickly summarize concerns about the facades, how they relate to the corner, the Woodmont versus the west and the south. I think those are really the big issues. I think there's the design guidelines, compliance issues, and so I think you just need a series of diagrams that show this is what strict compliance would mean on the site, and these are the alternative things that you're doing to address the intent of the guidelines. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a series of 3D diagrams.
So that with a extruded with a base
next to you know what strict conformance would be. And we've been asking for that really for everybody, because everybody is special, and so everybody wants.
So this isn't 3D, that's our problem.
And are there any other major issues that I'm missing? I mean, the facades kind of cover it, but all of the facades, and maybe some of the looking at how the roof, how the vertical element hiding the service and the rumpus room fit with everything. Is that a fair? Okay. So
are we automatically scheduled to be here back here in January then?
So Pat will coordinate with Emily to get on the January agenda.
We don't have a December. Wait,
does anyone know offhand the filing deadline for that? No.
It's generally a few weeks before. So I think you would have.
Yeah, actually, we filed, November 6th to be on this
one. I think you would have until the end of the year.
Do we have a December meeting?
I don't think so.
No.
There's not a December meeting because it falls too late in the month.
Wow. Great.
What are you doing Christmas Day?
Yeah, it's Christmas
Day. I'm going to be out in Seattle.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
by the way, kudos on your mechanical parking.
On your boy. That's
on what?
Has that mechanical parking. Has that been done in Washington?
Yeah, we've done it.
Yeah. All right, so we have, so for folks who need to leave, Bob Wallach is here for the Chase condominium. Does anybody else want to speak? So Bob, I think you're it.
Yeah, because
if folks need to leave, go ahead and leave, and we'll include his thing in your notes.
All right, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of things. A lot of them have been discussed. One is the step back requirement. Alternative are allowed on Woodmill. I'm not sure the alternatives are even allowed on Badgemore, but the alternative methods have to do with plan changes and those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, they're encouraged everywhere. It's not.
Okay, I'm just saying that the Flatiron building is not doing that.
Okay.
So, just pointing that out. I think the separation of the towers is a concern. The one at the south is separated by 45 feet. Here we're at 29 feet. I don't really think that, or they don't think that those units are really going to work with the windows if they ever have to close them up. That's a risk for the developer. What was the other thing? Oh, the drop-off. There is no drop-off, right?
And there's no drop-off requirement, I don't.
It's recommended.
I mean, not there's not a zoning requirement for
it's in the guidelines.
Drop off. I would generally lay bys and drop offs are discouraged.
But you just lose. So they'll have to drop people in the traffic lane, cross the bike lane.
Okay.
And the drop off, we're at a corner, so VDOT, I mean, DOT is not going to give us anything.
They're not going to cut you any slack.
This one still works.
Do you want to submit those in? Did you already submit those in writing?
That's in the letter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Then with that.
Are there notes that you'll publish then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll have them hopefully later this week, but they'll be the official notes and they will be part of the record and you'll have copies and they'll be included in the staff recommendation.
Thank you. This is very helpful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
The Chase isn't very
thank you, George. I'll take any compliment you can give me.
Me,
even if it's just a mechanical parking, which that gentleman's doing.